My name is Eileen McIntyre. I'm a resident of Hingham, Massachusetts, and today I'm really privileged to meet with a neighbor, a Hingham resident, whose name is Norm Grossman. Norm is 92 years old, or I should say young, because I'm looking at him today, and he's quite vital. And he was born in Brookline, Massachusetts. And one of the things that makes Norm interesting as we approach Veterans Day today October in 2016, so Veterans Day is not far away. Norm, at the age of 19, entered the Army, and he served during World War II. So we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about that today. But let me start by asking Norm what his life was like when he was a boy. Now, you were in Brookline. Tell me a little bit about that.
Brookline. My father died when I was 5 years old, and my mother remarried, and it was a little difficult, but finally we did get along, and things worked out, and I have a brother, George, who's 4 years younger than I am. As a matter of fact, my mother was pregnant when my father died, so it was really a tough time for her. I had a normal childhood. I remember we used to gather at the playground or at the school and have pickup games. There was always something to do. I loved baseball. I loved to play baseball. And in the spring and summer, we did that. So it was a very happy childhood, even though my father did die. And it was a little bit of a hard adjustment with my new father. But he was wonderful to me. He did everything he could to make us happy, and he was a real father.
That's wonderful. You mentioned baseball. Were you a Red Sox fan back then?
But of course.
And
my son, Philip, just brought a sign that said, "You're in the home of a loyal Red Sox fan. Cheer accordingly or shut up."
Now, you must have had to listen to the games on the radio back then.
That's right. I had an aunt. Name was Aunt Jean. She listened to every game on the radio. She loved baseball. And I would go to her apartment sometimes and listen with her. And my folks did take me to a few games. And when I got into high school, I remember going from school, we take the MBTA down to Fenway Park and go see the Red Sox.
Wonderful. And what were your interests in school? Were there particular activities you got engaged in high school?
Well, I loved history.
You loved history?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And I was very interested in history, and I was very happy in school.
Did you join some activities, some sports activities? Did you play baseball for your high school
team? I played baseball for my high school, and I played second base, I remember, and I loved it. And high school was fun.
Which high school was this? Do you remember?
Newton South High School.
Newton South.
Well, actually, it was just Newton High School then. There was only one high school. It had three buildings.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that school is probably very proud to call people like you alumni.
Yeah. Right.
You've lived wonderful lives.
Yeah, there's a new building now. They've knocked down the three buildings. Then they built another building, and then that wasn't good enough. They built another building, and now we have a new high school.
So when you graduated from high school, what were you doing right away, right after high school?
I think I worked that summer at my grandfather's. My grandfather was part owner of Thomas Long Company, which is a jewelry store in Boston. I worked in the wholesale department, which he was head of, and packaged all kinds of jewelry and, you know, sent them to our customers. And then in the fall, I went to University of Pennsylvania.
A fine school.
Yeah, I went to the Wharton School. But the war bothered me a lot, and I felt I had to enlist. And in the fall, I did enlist in the Army.
So this was, you said the fall, so this was after Pearl Harbor, obviously. So would it have been the year
1942.
After 1942. Okay. And so you enlisted, and you enlisted in the Army?
Yes.
And where did you go for your basic training? Do you remember?
Yeah, I went to Mineral Wells, Texas.
Mm.
And it was hot. It was in June. And we had 13 weeks there of basic training. After that, I was sent to a new camp in Pennsylvania. And from there, we went to New York. And from New York, we went on the Queen Mary to England.
That must have been a long voyage across the ocean.
5 days.
5 days.
And then we landed in Scotland.
Hi, on the next up, when are you?
Just 1 second.
How long?
Just 1 second.
I need to have some sort of schedule.
Yeah,
I don't
want
to hear 40 minutes.
Yeah. Can you come back in 1 hour?
Am I back at 11?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
So you landed in Scotland, and then?
And we took the train down to Plymouth, England, where the outfit I was assigned to was stationed. And there was a barracks down in Plymouth. It was an English barracks that the Americans took over. And I stayed there and was trained in Plymouth, England, for the invasion.
So you were part of the D-Day invasion?
Yeah.
And tell me what that entailed for you specifically. What were you trained to do, and what happened?
I was a rifleman, and I was trained to run across the beach. And when we got to the beach, we were to take another town in France, and it was a frightening experience.
I think that's probably a mild word to use for that experience. Now, do you remember what beach you actually landed on?
I was on Omaha Beach.
Omaha Beach. I've been there.
Yeah.
Were there rough seas as you got out of the...
Oh, it was very rough going across the channel. As a matter of fact, we each given a paper bag, and we all used them.
Right. And then as you approached the beach, that must have been a very frightening experience.
Yeah, it was. We didn't know what was going to happen. I remember someone yelling, "The ramp is down." And when we heard that, we were supposed to disembark. And the first thing, I had a 60-pound pack of ammunition and food and everything, which I had to empty. I couldn't move. So I got rid of that and ran across the beach, where I met a very good friend of mine, Frank Oberle. Oh, I landed near him. And Frank said to me, "We've got to get out of here." And he found a path up the cliff or the hill. And we went up that hill to the top. And we find, unfortunately, it was mined, and one of the guys in front of Frank was blown up. But we did make it. Frank and I both made it. Frank was a wonderful soldier. And we got up there. We went into one of the bunkers and captured 3 or 4 Germans, and Frank had to take them back down to Omaha Beach again, because they wanted to question any prisoner that we got.
So he had to cross that beach again, which would have been very dangerous as well.
It was. When I saw that sight, as a matter of fact, I wrote when I was wounded on the 15th of July. But I don't want to get ahead of myself.
That's okay.
When I...
So So he's
was
so
in
he
the hospital.
Document that
I wrote this.
Wonderful.
Which you can have.
Thank you, Norm.
For reference.
So this is called 40 Days in France.
Because I was in France for 40 days, and so I entitled it 40 Days in France.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so
it
much.
It was never published, but there's a lot of copies here that people have read.
Well, that's a very valuable thing for people to read about, to understand the sacrifices that everyday Americans made during that conflict, and certainly there have been many conflicts since, but that's one that we don't want to forget, certainly.
No.
So during that time, you said you were wounded?
I was wounded just as we got to St. Lo, which is about 20 miles inland, I was wounded. What happened was the night before we were to attack St. Lo, we got a new lieutenant who had never had any experience. And I never put that in the book because I didn't want to get him in trouble. But when I woke up in the morning, I said, "Where's the lieutenant?" And they said, "Well, he wandered off." In other words, he went AWOL. So, stupidly, I guess, I went out and I tried to find him. This was between the hedgerows. And once you're between the hedgerows, you're a good shot to catch you. And they did. It was a mortar that got me in my stomach and my arm. And I crawled next to a hedgerow after that and stayed there until they rescued me.
So there were some medics who came?
Medics came. They bandaged me up and left me there and said they'd be back. I said to myself, "Oh, sure."
But I guess they made it back.
But they came back.
And then were you stayed in France longer though?
Well, I was in the hospital for a few weeks.
Okay. And they took good care of you there?
Oh, yeah.
And who was providing the care in the hospitals? Were these nurses or
nurses and doctors, all Americans?
American. So it was an American hospital.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
A field hospital.
Field hospital is set up just for the conflict.
Yeah.
And then when did you get back from that experience?
I got back in the fall. I can't recall exactly when.
Okay.
And I was put in a hospital. I think it was a Camp Edwards and down the Cape. And my mother came by. She didn't even recognize me.
Oh.
I had lost 80 pounds. I was down to 80 pounds.
I bet she was very happy to see you.
Oh, she didn't recognize me at first. Yeah, my father was so happy. He always, every time he came, he bought stuff for the people who were in the barracks and the hospital with me.
And then you spent your time recovering there at Camp?
No, and then I was sent down to the a hospital in West Virginia, the Newton D. Baker Hospital, where they took care of wounds to nerves. Most of these hospitals are specialized in certain things, and a lot of the men were shot in the leg or the arm, and they severed the nerve, like I severed the radial nerve. Then there was a nerve in the leg that a lot of people were wounded at, and that means that they had a drop knee. I have a drop wrist. In other words, I can't go like this, even though they did try and operate on me.
So a lot of people were taking care of the wounded vets.
Oh, they were wonderful.
Very good to hear. And then when did you come home?
I came home.
Were you in the hospital for a few months?
Or? A year.
A year.
I came home in 1945.
So you came home to Brookline, Massachusetts?
Well, my folks, we had moved already to Newton.
Okay.
And we had a nice house in Newton on Commonwealth Avenue. And from there I went to Newton High School. And then I applied to Brown. to go to Brown University, and I went to Brown.
So you had started earlier at the University of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, but I didn't want to go, I didn't want to be away from home again.
Sure. So Brown University in Rhode Island was much closer.
Yeah, I did that in 3 years.
And what did you get your degree in?
Economics.
Economics.
Right. And after that, I went into my father's business, which was manufacturing outerwear, heavy jackets. And he had a heart attack and couldn't continue. And my brother and I continued with the business.
And what was the name of that business?
Congress Sportswear Company.
And was that in Boston?
It was, no, the factory was in Maine.
Okay. Certainly a lot of garment work went on in Maine and throughout New England in those days.
Of course, it's all gone now.
Much of it is. That's quite right.
Yeah. And later on, a few years later, we built a new factory because we had an older factory that my father had leased, but we decided to build a new factory. The state of Maine lent us the money. We had a mortgage for 20 years. We paid it off, and we were pretty successful.
It sounds like your can-do spirit that carried you through, and also your college degree probably put you in a good
Helped
place.
Me. My brother went to Brown also. He's living in Florida now. He's still alive. He's 88.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. And we talk every week.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
Families are so important as we all get a little older.
I have 5 kids. My wife died 2 years ago.
And what was her name?
Natalie.
Natalie. And when did you meet her?
It was funny. My mother was a pianist. She loved to play. Well, not a concert pianist, but she loved to play. Natalie was also. She went to the Conservatory of Music, and she studied the piano, and she played professionally sometimes. And so they became friends, and she introduced me to her, and I started to take her out. And we went out for about a year, and then we got married.
So this was when you were back from the war and recovered from your injuries.
Right.
So she didn't have that long period that some wives had worrying about their husbands overseas.
No.
She met you when you were
back.
You'll
hear that
home.
From Sid.
Okay. So you raised 5 children? You
5 and children.
And where are they now? Are they spread out?
We had 4 boys, and Natalie said to me one day, "Look, we got to have a girl. Let's try one more time." And we did. We got a girl. So we're very happy about that.
And now you have grandchildren?
I have 8 grandchildren.
8. Yeah. And are they living close by? Or?
Well, most of them live in New England, except my daughter, who works for Firestone, lives in Chicago. And the rest of them are in New England. I have one in Maine and one in the western part of the state. And
it's wonderful to have a big family that.
Yeah.
And now you're living here at Linden Ponds, a wonderful community here in Hingham.
Right.
What kinds of activities are you interested in at this
point? Well, I do a lot of work with the veterans. I don't do too much anymore. Getting a little old.
You've earned a chance to rest a little bit.
Rest a little bit.
But there's a lot of activities here.
There's a lot of activities. I go with a girl who was in charge of the events committee here, and I help her a little bit. And I find enough to do.
Well, that's terrific.
Keep busy during the day.
Well, it's such a privilege to meet you. Now, when you think back on your life, you mentioned a couple of people. Obviously, your mother, you smiled brightly when you talked about her. Your dad died when you were very young, and then your mom remarried, and it sounds like this was a man who took very good care of you.
He did.
But tell me about other people in your life that you think really influenced the man that you became.
Well, I had a very good friend who was my lawyer. His name was Larry Levinson, and he worked for a firm in Boston, and then he left that firm and started his own firm, and he was very influential in my life. He was in the war, and we became very close friends.
So you shared that experience. That's very important.
Yeah. I think he was the most influential person in my life, except my father, of course, who also was very influential.
And when you think of leaders in business or leaders of the country, as you grew up, as you were a young man and grew up and were in business, who did you look up to? Who were you proud of as American leaders of business or the country?
Of course, Roosevelt was number one. I can't say I'm proud of anyone today.
Oh, I understand it's very complicated today, but FDR, certainly during your years of coming of age, was a very important...
He was the only president I knew for years.
He had a long presidency, as we all know.
Yeah.
Well, wonderful. I have so appreciated spending time with you today, Norm. And I will stop the recording now, but... anything that you want to say before we complete this about your life?
No, I just want to say that I feel like I've had a very successful life and have enjoyed it, and it's great living here with all these different people, and you get to talk to them. Like Sid and I have talked about the war, and
Norm is talking about his friend Sid Rosenberg, who's with us today, and I'm going to speak with him shortly.
Right.
So it's great to have those kinds of common experiences to share.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. Great talking with you today, Norm.
Okay, thank you very much.